I think you've landed in Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM on CITR with special hosts Ms. Julia Saunders, sexy, sexy, sexy Saunders, and Ms. McGillivray. And I hope you've been enjoying the funding drive thing that was going on. We've raised lots of wonderful money and things like that.
Thank you all very much. We surpassed quite a bit our goal.
Oh, we did, over 21.
Thank you, all you lovely donators.
Which is very, very cool, and I hope they got to go and enjoy the party and get to see a little bit of burlesque and fun.
And we heard there was some special dancers and other kinds of performances at that party.
Yes, there were. It was
quite
interesting.
Sorry, I missed it.
It's all right. We wanted you there. We would have tied you up and done all sorts of debaucherous things to you, so perhaps it's just as well we gave you a little bit of a rest.
Yes, I was very busy this weekend resting.
But, you know, not-for-profit is really important just to really stress and encourage, especially at this time of year. So it's time to give money and things like that, regardless. And we've got a very special society with us tonight.
We do. We have a very, very cool show. And actually, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be focusing on similar kind of topics from different angles, and that is the interests of human rights, which is really in specifically the focus of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, but really about human rights, and because of the recent release of the movie Milk, which is based on Harvey Milk, who was the first activist and politician. He was the first openly gay man to ever enter politics, a public office in America. And we're going to talk about that later on in the show, but we're going to be sort of talking about milking your pride tonight, because we've got the Pride Society here, and we're bringing together the president of Vancouver Pride Society tonight. We're very honored to have Ken Coolin in the house. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
And we also have a very special guest tonight, and I've been wanting to get this woman in here for I don't know how many years, a couple of years. I've been trying to get Carol Delenko of Smart Cookie Consulting, who also works for Vancouver Pride. She is pretty much the mayor of Pride, I'd say. And so we have this real powerhouse in today, bringing together the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, their friends, their allies, supporters, all in the GLBT, we're going to be calling it tonight for shortening that, just because having to say gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. And I think it's also others, but it's their friends, their allies, supporters, etc. And we're going to be talking about their interests and the human rights that we're still fighting quite hard for in society today. So welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
I'm so glad you haven't let you breathe the word in edgewise. And Ken and Carol, sorry, I'm just quick little note. Ken and Carol, they've traveled all over. I think Ken went to Moscow and Sao Paulo and Warsaw for Pride last night. Carol and Ken were in New York for Pride together this past summer, and they've traveled to other Prides over the years. So these two really know what they're talking about when it comes to the Pride Parade, anyway, I guess, and the whole Pride Society, and you'll tell us more.
Yes.
And we're going to be taking calls at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, in case you have any questions, because these guys have a lot to say, and
yes,
we have a lot to ask them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. So the first question tonight is, why are we still fighting for the human rights that we were talking about, mentioning?
I don't think we've ever stopped fighting. I think the focus has maybe changed a bit, and now I think the focus is back on the fight because of Proposition 8.
Which, can you describe for the listeners, what is that?
Proposition 8 is a proposition that came down into the states that was to legalize gay marriage and allow it to be part of the entire Constitution, the state Constitution. And essentially, when it was passed 8 months ago or so, lots of gay and lesbian couples got married, and then it was brought forward again by a group that said, no, gays shouldn't be allowed to marry, therefore we want it pulled out of the Constitution. And there was a huge amount of money that was put up by either side to actually rescind this motion, and it actually just passed, so they have pulled this motion out, and now gay and lesbian marriage is not allowed. And so, in fact, we have lost rights.
When did this happen?
On the election night, actually November 4th, when Barack Obama and all that represented change was elected into power, rights were taken away from a specific group of people. Gays and lesbians specifically were discriminated against in the Constitution of the states.
Wow, and this just happened
This happens now, yeah. So, I mean, you always have to be on the forefront. You always have to stand up for your rights because at any point they can be taken away. And I think that's what MILK is possibly doing, is putting the vision and the knowledge out there that the fight still has to happen. You know, it doesn't disappear. If you stay at home, if we all stayed at home, the fight wouldn't happen. It just takes a little bit of time, a little bit of action to make a lot of impact.
Kind of anything to add to that?
I think she said it all. No, it's interesting. And I think one of the things that's really made Pride a little bit easier to see as a global thing is with the internet and with videos and cameras and videos and phones, is that we're now seeing a more clear picture of what goes on behind the closed doors in places such as Warsaw and Moscow and all the, you know, all these 70-some-odd countries where it's still illegal in one form or another to be an LGBT person. And in a lot of those countries, still punishable by prison sentences and or death. And so when those tragedies start to happen, in years gone by, you know, the flow of information wasn't there, but now it's instant. And within, you know, the rally this Saturday, within 10 days, you know, the troops can be rounded up to take a couple hundred people out to stand up for something because of things like the internet and Facebook and emails and so on.
You know, social activism doesn't take a lot of time. December 8th, United Nations, there is a resolution that's coming forward again to protect human rights, but again, gays and lesbians are being, you know, not included from that. So again, via Facebook, you could become an activist by clicking on a button and sending an email to, you know, your local representative. And that's all it takes to be an activist, is to stand up and be visible. And that's what Pride does every year, is allow people and our community to be visible.
So they can do this 365 days a year through social networking, is what you're saying. So besides Facebook, Twitter, what other tools do we have to do things on a day-to-day basis?
I think that there's a lot of different arenas that you can become involved with. There are a lot of GBLT human rights organizations, ILGA.org. There is the HRC, which is the Human Rights Commission. There is Human Rights Watch, which has a GBLT-specific section. Those will send you emails. You put yourself on an email list and you're going to start getting information. And, you know, knowledge is really the power. And I know that's, you know, grade 7, you know, Schoolhouse Rock kind of thing. But it's so true, because I was saying the other night, it's, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure people know, because people don't know what they don't know. So to call somebody on their ignorance because they're not aware of what's going on around the world, well, is that really their fault, or is it our fault, for those of us who do know, not to get out there and spread that information?
And Pride also has an outreach committee this year that is actually getting really active, and we plan on involving, you know, ethnic communities and local LGBT communities, and, you know, we're going to have a social activism group that will send letters and stand up for, you know, rights where they aren't, or where we aren't represented well. So join Pride. There's a lot of opportunities. The more people you have showing up, the more, you know, visibility there is, and it's really hard to ignore hundreds of people standing together.
Again, I just want to, you know, specify as well that we're talking about human rights here, and I find in the movie MILK, which I highly recommend, is an excellent movie, even if you're not gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or even, you know, necessarily related to one or dating, you know, whatever, thing is that it's about the rights of people to express themselves, you know, in healthy ways, which they're doing. You know, not obviously we don't want to have people expressing themselves in unhealthy ways, but you know, it's just another piece of being human. And I think that it's tragic. I'm actually still taken aback by what you were telling me, Carol, about what had happened with the election and rights being taken away from. So where are gay rights at today then? Like, what's going on in, you know, Canada, if you can tell me, in the States, if you can tell me, and around the world that you know of? It's a big, broad question, so we'll reach what you can.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not an expert in this area. I know what I've been taught. I know what I've read, and I know what's, you know, been shared with me. And I know that in 87 countries around the world, there is still criminal penalties for gays and lesbians. And I know that in 7 countries around the world, the penalty is death. So where are gay rights? Well, it's still a fight. And, you know, the work that we do here in Vancouver, there is a ripple that gets felt in these countries around the world. And, you know, where are our rights? Well, you know, they're being stood up for daily, you know, as is demonstrated this coming Saturday. We're standing up for rights. It's a lot more action than, you know, than what we used to do, perhaps.
Tell us about this Saturday.
I just wanted to, you know, when we're talking about human rights in Canada as well, I mean, there's so many little things, too, that, you know, we just sort of grin and bear it. And something like groups like Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Mm. Big Brothers will not let you be a Big Brother if you are gay.
Oh, my gosh, really?
That is a rule that they've had standing for a long time. If you are a gay man in Canada, you are not legally allowed to give blood.
Really?
Because of, you know, what I would call ignorant fear.
Or sperm either for adoptions.
For
gays
adoption.
Are not allowed.
So, you know, there's all these little minute rules that still show that, you know, when you talk about, you know, I mean, you know, obviously the blood thing is related to HIV and AIDS, but gay men or not, the biggest growing group right now, it's intravenous.
Drug use, yes.
So
you can't donate blood if you're an out gay person?
Correct. If you're an out gay man. It's okay for the women.
Yeah.
Carol can give as much blood as she wants.
Thank God for that. I've got lots to give monthly.
Yeah.
I'm actually really, I feel so out of the loop, I can't even believe this. I'm learning as we go here. This is really disturbing.
Well, you know, it's
interesting. It feels so archaic. It's like, are we in the 1800s?
But
like,
you don't know what you don't know, and why would you know that?
Yeah.
Well,
you
know,
I mean, you've got gay and lesbian rights. We have the right to marry, but there's still many things that we're fighting for and fighting to change. And just because you have the right doesn't mean that homophobia disappears. You know, and so the fight is to change homophobia and to be accepted, not tolerated, and included, not, you know, tolerated.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, my whole master's was on, you know, queer theory, and, you know, we talked a lot about that and how to address this in schools, which we're going to be addressing next week, actually, with Out in Schools.
That we'll be having on the show.
Yes, we'll be having on the show. Thank you. And we'll be talking more about that. But I just find, you know, even in all of those classes, we weren't talking about these very present day, very... you know, oppressive things that are going on. I'm just shocked.
Well, the question I think that you're about to ask about the rally coming up on Saturday, this is a great segue into it, because what has happened in Abbotsford is the local school board decided to take GBLT issues out of their grade 12 social awareness classes.
Social justice class.
So the grade 12 has a social justice class. The Abbotsford School Board decided that it would be appropriate to take the GBLT sections out of that curriculum.
And what are the reasons that they feel that this is just?
Recruitment.
No, they've said, though, that there are no gays in Abbotsford, so really this doesn't really apply to them. And they actually took the entire social 12 or social justice out of grade 12 curriculum. So,
and this is very similar to, there's a really great movie, and I think you just watched it, Out of the Past.
Yeah, of course.
And there's something called GSAs, which are Gay Straight Alliances, which are in high schools and now some junior highs and around the provinces. And this was started by a girl out of Salt Lake City, Utah. And she wanted to have a club where her and her like-minded friends, whether they were gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or just supporters, could get together and have a safe place to meet. Mm. And the school wouldn't let them. I mean, this is Salt Lake City, Utah, you know?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let them. And because she kept fighting it and winning it in court, what the state of Utah decided to do was ban any extracurricular activities. So instead of... So that they could not allow this one, they got rid of all the others. And sort of like this, because they could not just take out the GPLT, they got rid of the whole course.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, this is
like
the insanity.
It's like Footloose all over again.
Yeah. And when
let's dance.
Exactly. Where's Kevin Bacon when you need him? But, I mean, that's just the point, is that, you know, and then this one girl stood up, and now we have GSAs all across North America.
Gay Straight Alliances, GSA.
Yes, okay. Gay Straight Alliances. So, I mean, that's just the impact of one person fighting for something. So who knows what's going to come out of this rally on Saturday.
But the fact is that, you know, a group in Vancouver just heard of this struggle and thought, this just is not right. And so Vancouver Pride Society and Out on Screen and the GLBT Center joined forces together. And this Saturday at 9 o'clock at, on Butte and Davie, we're having buses that will, three big school buses that will take people out. And we're calling it the Queer Convoy, the Queer Express. And we're going to stand up for, you know, social justice. And again, this is little things like this make a very, very big difference.
Wow, I'm
I'm impressed, because I always think of the parade, which is one of the biggest events, which it's very successful. I have to say it's one of the, I think it's one of the biggest parades in Vancouver, if
it is.
not the biggest, by a long shot, really. Yeah, and people
certainly surpasses the Santa Claus parade that's coming up soon.
That we have a Santa Claus parade.
This weekend.
These are the pride people. They know when the parades are. So tell us then, what is the purpose of the parade? I mean, it's...
Well, you know, and... When
it's the biggest parade. It's so much fun.
It is the biggest parade. It never used to be the biggest parade. When it started off 30 years ago, it was 17 people marching on the street as a sign of visibility, saying that we're here, we're queer, get used to it, which is the old anthem, and that we're not going to be invisible anymore, and we're going to start standing up for our rights. And it just slowly and slowly grew. And that is the challenge of Pride in North America right now, is that Pride was about the education piece and the liberation piece, and now we've gotten to the celebration, but we need to learn how to bring those other points back to it. We need to learn how to make sure that we continue to educate our community and our people, and I don't just mean the GBLT community, but, you know, our people as in our citizens, where we came from, and what it took us to get there, and why we can now celebrate 500,000 strong in the streets.
So how do we do that?
Well, you know, you do what you can, and it's one step at a time. And we at the Pride Society, we're really looking at what is the purpose of the Pride Society, because it became the purpose of putting on this really fantastic parade and a great festival and some of the great events. To get people back into it is about trying to bring back the purpose. And I don't, you know.
I was just going to ask, what is your mission statement, actually, for your society?
Our mission statement is, and I can't say it word for word, though we have one. The mission statement is basically to celebrate the GBLT community in our area and with allies and supporters. And there's a little bit more to it than that. I think it talks about, you know, the enhancement of the community and so on and so forth.
And education as well.
Education.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Carol, when did you get involved? I mean, Ken, you, it sounds like you've been involved for quite a while.
Yeah.
How many years have you been involved, Ken?
This is my... Ken?
This is actually going into my fourth year.
Okay, cool. So you've been involved with Vancouver Pride Society for a while. Carol, you? When did you get involved?
This is 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah, just into it 5 and a bit, yeah.
Now, was this with Smart Cookie Consulting that you first approached them to help
them
out?
No, actually. I initially was a board director for the first 6 months, and then... was advised to step off the board and work independently so that I would have a little bit more leeway and flexibility to do what I needed to do. So, when I first came on with Pride, there was 150,000 people in the parade, and it was, you know, it was grassroots, and it was bursting at the seams and ready to grow. And I think as Pride has progressed over the last couple of years, we've had some really good people that have fit into the right place at the right time to allow Pride to grow to what it is today. And
grew significantly last year with opening up those other streets. And
well, it's in the last few years, it's grown like 233%. We're the fastest growing Pride in the world. We have gone from a third place market in the GLBT world to a first place parade. We are now the number one LGBT travel destination in Canada. We are the number one travel destination for lesbians around the world. Vancouver is finally getting its moment in the sun, and we're lucky that Pride has got the right people guiding it at the right time.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's just time. I think people have decided to step up, perhaps, and we've got just some really great people that have decided to really get involved.
And why here and not so much all around the world?
I think people are stepping up all over the world, okay. actually. I think, there's an international group called InterPride. Mm. And that group is actually the umbrella organization for all the prides worldwide. And there's different regions all over the world that have directors, and their job is to go and share the message of support that, you know, you're not alone. There are a lot of pride groups that are here to help you and mentor you and educate you on you know, where we've come from and where we can go. So I think you'll start seeing a very big change in the next few years as well.
I think one of the big things, and we talked about InterPride, is that Kill and I were at a conference together just 3 years ago now,
yeah.
and we saw a short film out of Eastern Europe called Prides in Conflict, and it was probably the most horrific violation of human rights from three European prides, where, I mean, films of people literally getting beaten in the streets.
Horrible.
And,
horrible.
I mean, moved people, including myself, and Carol, to tears. And that's when what you don't know, comes into play. And it's like, okay, well, now I know, and we need to make sure that other people start knowing. And one of the reasons I got to travel so much last year is I worked on this really brilliant movie project mm-hmm. called Beyond Gay, The Politics of Pride.
Mm.
The website is biggaymovie.com, so it's easy to remember. And it was going around the world and trying to find out where Pride is in various places of the world. And we were in places like Moscow and Warsaw, São Paulo, Toronto, New York, Las Vegas, had a crew in Colombo, Sri Lanka, Budapest.
Wow.
You know, just it was just phenomenal. And, you know, Pride is very into very different stages in very many places of the world.
Is it always on the same weekend? Is it kind of typically on that weekend?
Well, a lot of it is, a lot of the prides that you'll see around North America fall on the same weekend as Stonewall did. And Stonewall occurred 40 years ago this June, June 27th. So that's why you'll find Pride in, you know, Chicago and San Francisco and New York.
Yeah.
That's all that weekend. So Vancouver Pride is actually the first weekend in August. So we do a little bit later so that more people can participate as well.
Yeah, the ones that, you know, there's the big ones in New York and San Fran, and then people travel to Vancouver. Well, we'll talk about Stonewall and that all happened, you know, some of the history around that in the second half. Before the break, though, I just wanted to bring in the movie Milk, and where I hadn't seen you in a while, Carol, and so I was pleasant enough to sit through the movie with you, and Caroline went and saw it today. I'm assuming, Ken, you've seen it?
I have not.
Oh, you have not?
I've been a little bit sick, and I know I was just talking today that I'm the only person who hasn't seen it.
It's okay. It's basically Academy Award nominee Gus Van Sant directed Academy Award winner Sean Penn, who portrays the gay rights activist icon Harvey Milk. And Harvey Milk was alive from 1930 to 1978 when he was assassinated. And he was the first openly gay man to be elected to a public office in America. I mean, it was huge. And in 1977, he was voted to the City Supervisors Board of San Francisco in the following year. I mean, he had to go and go and go so many times trying to get into office, finally won, and then he was assassinated. So I won't give you much more details in case you haven't seen this true story. It was done in a documentary feature, The Times of Harvey Milk, and now Milk, which is a film on location in San Francisco, is the first non-documentary feature to explore this man's life and career. Very important work that Mr. Milk did in his time, and of course I think a lot of what goes on with Pride has to say to thank him. And as Carol had said earlier in the first half of the show here tonight, that, you know, all of those little things that you do, whoever you are, you know, sending a note on Facebook, or as Ken had spoken about, the young girl who stood up against the Gay Straight Alliance that happened in Utah, these things became a big movement. So, you know, never deny that, you know, small groups are what changes the world. And I'd love to remember who said that quote. It's on the walls of Foundation on 8th and or 7th and Main. But anyway, fabulous quote. And so don't ever, resist thinking, oh, there's nothing I can do that's going to make any changes out there. So the second half of the show tonight, we're going to talk about a little bit about Harvey Milk, and are there any other Harvey Milks out there today? But first, let's just take a break. It just seems like a good time to do that. And at the second half of the show, we'll get into that conversation. We'll get into Stonewall. We'll get into some of the laws that are still discriminating against gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people. And really, why is it so important that you, no matter who you are, doesn't matter if you are gay, lesbian, bisexual, straight, trans, doesn't matter if you are intersexed or anyone in between, why your human rights are important to stand up for every day. So, and what you can do about that. So we'll talk about that in the second half. And thank you too. Just hold tight, listeners, and you are in the juice box on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls, especially during this time. So call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, and we'll be right back.
I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my shelf and kicked in my bed, but I've come through.
And I need to go on, 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 on.
We are the champions, my friends, and we'll keep on fighting till the end.
We are the champions.
Tune in everything that goes with it. I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race. And I ain't gonna lose. We are the champions, my friend.
With everything.
Hey, Heather from Queer FM, what's up?
Well, you know how Bryce, our program director here at CITR, has kind of been riding all of our asses about making promos for our shows?
Cha! Yes!
Well, you know, I was thinking, like, over at the CBC, they have this woman named Promo Girl, and she comes on once an hour and tells everybody what's coming up, and it's usually kind of theatrical, and She has like a really sexy voice and stuff. So anyway, I was thinking that I'd really like to have a promo boy or like promo boys. Would you guys be up for that?
Sure. What do we have to do?
Just tell people about Queer FM, really.
Okay.
Queer FM features news, views, current affairs, arts and music. For, of course, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities and all its allies. Heather Kitchen hosts Queer FM Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. If you're joining us now, we are talking about pride and enjoying it. Lots of pride.
We're talking about milking your pride, actually, because we're talking about Milk, the movie, and at the end of the first half, we were getting into Harvey Milk, the movie that just came out, I think, across countries, I don't know where, but definitely North America.
It's a really powerful movie.
Very powerful movie, and actually incredibly well done and beautifully done, well acted. I mean, Sean Penn does an incredible job, as well as many others. And, of course, the fashion was fabulous. I really enjoyed the fashion.
The fashion scared me.
Well, I loved it because it was all in the 70s, and I love the 70s. So.
And it needs to stay in the 70s.
So there's a lot of reasons to go, even if you're not necessarily an advocate or, you know, interested in hearing about the history of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender interests and the human rights that are involved for all of us as well. And it's just a very passionate movie, very well done. So are there Harvey Milks out there today? We have Carol. We have Carol, yeah. And Ken, by the way. I should probably reintroduce you just in case you're catching the show right now. Smart Cookie Consulting, Carol Delinko, who also works very, very, very effectively with the Vancouver Pride Society, and President Ken Coolin of Vancouver Pride Society. Sorry, thanks. See you guys. So, yes, the answer to that question?
Go first.
Yeah, absolutely there are. I mean, it doesn't take big Harvey Milks. It's a bunch of little Harvey Milks at this point that really fuel the entire fight. There are some significant figures that are certainly more prominent than others. You know, somebody like Gilbert Baker, who actually created the rainbow flag. He's alive and well today. You know, the rainbow flag is 30 years old, and he's certainly standing up for rights as he always has been. Cleve Jones, a good friend, also was the founder of the AIDS Memorial Quilt. And he's still alive and, of course, doing a lot as well. And, I mean, there's still a lot of people that are out there that are doing the fight. I mean, Peter Thatchell lives in London, and he's one of the leading human rights activists for LGBT information. Rex Walkner is a journalist who tracks all the LGBT goings-on around the world and the injustices that are happening. You know, Ken Coolin, Vancouver Pride, traveling around the world, though, and creating a video and a documentary that is showing the politics of pride. I mean, it doesn't take the huge superstars. It takes a lot of smaller people to do a bigger job now.
And I've met some of those international Harvey Milks, if you were. A gentleman that we had here for Pride 2 years ago, Tomasz Baczalski, who is from Poland. And Poland has an interesting situation now because, let me tell you, the Polish people are not very pro-gay. They would like to see it go away. However, they did join the European Union, which affords Polish GBLT some human rights as part of the EU. So much so that when Pride was banned again, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, after being repeatedly banned, this individual took his government of his country to the European Human Rights Court and won the battle to have the right to have a pride parade. And, you know, that's a Harvey Milk to me. Nikolai Alesky, who is the leader of Pride in Moscow, who basically is continually watched by the Russian authorities and fighting over and over again. For the third year in a row, Pride was banned in Moscow, and he found a way to create a peaceful demonstration. So there's all kinds of Harvey Milks. And, you know, it might sound kind of corny and cheesy, but when I think of the Lance Basses or the Neil Patrick Harris's or, you know, the stars and
the celebrities
Ellen
DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres, sorry. You know, there's all kinds. When I grew up as a gay man and I was 15, 16, the only openly public role model I had as a GBLT person was Billy Crystal on Soap. And if you remember, for those of us who are old enough, he played a gay man. And the gay man on Soap actually, because, and you know, most won't remember this, but I do, because I remember me seeing this as my life. He was in love with a football player, and in order to try and stay with that football player, he was willing to have a sex change operation to become a woman, because that's the only way that they could be in a relationship. And all I kept thinking was, I like my goods. I don't want to get rid of my goods. And then the next icon that came out was Stephen from Dynasty. And right. Stephen Carrington, who was the next really big gay sort of figure in public. But Stephen from Dynasty could be gay and then not be gay. And then he was gay again, and then he was not gay. And just like, I've tried to turn it off, and there's no way to turn this off. And so to have people that young people can now look up to and say, you know what? These are good people. These are respected people. I mean, in a certain way, they're all Harvey Milks.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you don't even have to go to the big super celebrities. You go up to Prince George. And you see the people in Prince George that are banding together, or Nanaimo, and they just want to do something. Salt Spring Island had their first pride this past summer. So you just have to find your Harvey Milk in your community and pat him on the back, because there's lots of us out there.
Before we went, and that's exactly, it's fabulous. Before we went on the break, or during the break, I think, Caroline, you were talking about the movie and how Harvey Milk had asked the teachers to, in the movie, to come out.
Yes, because what they're trying to do is the government, they're trying to change one of the, I think it was number six. Bill 6?
Proposition 6.
Proposition 6, which basically they could fire somebody because of their sexual orientation. And he was encouraging everybody to come out and just be true to who you are. And by doing so, it was just so other people who may not be gay, may not be trans, they, like, for example, myself, my brother's gay. It's just like everyone knows someone who is gay, and that everybody... We're all human.
So Milk was saying in the movie, if you everyone come out, everyone, you know, whoever you are, positions of power and teachers, whatever, come out to people in your life so that we can all see that it's normal, that people in all kinds of positions are doing it. It's just another part of being human. You know, some of us are gay, some of us are trans, whatever. My cousin, somebody who I really love and respect, I just found out they're gay. Okay, well, you know, all of a sudden, if you might have been a bigot about that or having a struggle about that, that you could see that, you know, this perfectly okay person that you really love happens to have a certain sexual orientation that you may not agree with. Does that mean that they're not, you know, worth, you know, having a good job or keeping their job or keeping their home or getting married and having love in their lives? You know, it sort of brings it closer to the heart and makes it more humanized, I think.
Exactly.
And for some people who objectify people based on their sexual orientation and turn them into animals, which is, I think, what's happening in a lot of the laws that we're talking about tonight, it helps to maybe humanize people that have a certain sexual orientation that may not be heterosexual. And so it's how important this is. So I just wanted to get your viewpoints on this, Carol and Ken.
Well, I think it's obviously it's very important, but more so it's having the services available for those people that are coming out so that they can come out in a safe place. And there is an organization in town, the Center, the LGBT Center, and they have programs that are there for youth coming out, for, you know, lesbians getting comfortable, for queer families. I mean, so I think, yeah, it's really important, but I also think that the services are supported. And, you know, that's something that's happening right now in the city is the center is trying to raise money so that it can have a really proper location, a community center, so to speak, so that services like this are around for kids that come out. And that's why we throw pride as well, visibility.
And I think that for some people, too, coming out is a hard decision because you may lose some people in your life. And that's a sad fact, but it's a true fact. And, you know, so it's hard to judge people for staying in the closet, you know, looking back at some of those celebrities who are, you know, Clay Aiken, because, like, we didn't have a clue. I mean, but, you know...
Or George Michael.
There could have... George Michael
really?
Is another good...
Okay.
But, you know, there were probably some fears... there were some fears in those people's lives as to what the retribution would be.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, because there is some retribution around that. And so it's hard to judge people for that. But it's kind of a catch-22 because the longer you buy into keeping it a secret, and because by keeping it a secret you're admitting some shame to it, then you're yourself saying that it's not okay. And so, you know, to Harvey Milk, you know, come out wherever you are, is that as soon as you stand out and be an individual, yes, you might risk some loss, but the gains will be so much bigger.
Okay. Wow. So in a perfect world, if the Pride Society had unlimited funds, what would you be spending the money on?
Do you know what? It would, if I was speaking from me,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see us be able to do so much more for organizations around the world. And it's interesting because it stems around all kinds of things. It stems around human rights, and it stems around just basic living conditions. The person we had here this year for Pride, Saranan, I'm not saying his last name because I always get it wrong, but from Sri Lanka, you know, sharing with me a story that, you know, brought me to tears. And he talked about the average lifespan of somebody living with HIV and AIDS in his home country. And because they're so ostracized that they can't get work and they don't get any medical attention and they're disowned from their families, they get taken in by some of these groups to try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have any access to the medication, which is so readily available. And I asked him, I said, you know, what does that look like, you know, in terms of Canadian dollars? And he says, well, it's about $150 a year. And I literally was moved to think that for $150, somebody could live a better life. And, you know, it was only one person, but I went and I said, you know, here's some money. I want you to go back and find somebody who needs this and do this. And you stop and you think about, you know, how sinful that is when $72 million, that was the tally that came through the news, the Prop 8 opposition and pro campaigns spent equally about $36 million, total of $72 million. Here's a country that's in, you know, economic crisis, and yet somehow companies and individuals are coming up with $72 million to fight over whether or not, you know, Joe and Jerry down the street can get married. For God's sake, who freaking cares? There are people dying in the world. You know, think of that $72 million went to some of those countries to help provide housing and aid and medication to people who, you know, are living in, you know, poverty and stuff. It's just insane. So if I had an unlimited fund, yeah, to go and reach out to those people. Because I often use this analogy. If I was living in one of those countries and I was going to bed at night, I would stop and think, is there anybody out there? You know, whether you think of God or whether you think of a higher power or whatever it is, it's like, can anybody hear me? I'm here, I'm alone, I'm scared. You know, I just want to be able to live my life without feeling scared. And, you know, if you can do something to change that in any way, then, you know, you need to.
How about you, Carol?
Well, unlimited funds?
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited funds. Well, I mean, every single pride around North America would be flourishing. Every volunteer would get huge bonuses. Let's see, parade floats would be free for everybody. It would just, to really enhance the movement, I think, and putting a place together for people to be standing up and being proud and, you know, expressing diversity in their sexual choices. I think I would put gobs and gobs of money into the visibility of prides everywhere.
I think that's great. Ken, in regards to about the just that's $150 Canadian, basically, to save, well, basically, for somebody to get the medication, I think if there's more awareness about that, I think a lot of people would be into that. You should put that on the Dream Bank. It's one of the things online where you can write your dream down.
That would be awesome. See, the challenge is with that, some of that stuff, is that the Sri Lankan government, like, to get that money into those people is the bigger challenge. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's even outside of our community, watching what aid has gone to some countries in conflict. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just getting the aid to those people. Yeah. And so, but, you know, you're right. You know, I talked to a few people, and they're like, wow, you know, like, just somebody has to do something. And so.
Well, and again, Vancouver Pride last year stood in partner with Belarus Pride and did a fundraiser for Belarus, which is a country, a struggling pride in Eastern Europe, raised close to $800 that was sent over to that pride group. And pride doesn't, you know, cost an awful lot of money in these other countries. So that $800 went a really, really long way. So pride in Vancouver is really reaching out across the board right now and assisting everywhere.
I mean, one of the questions we had was, you know, how can people get involved? And we talked about it a little bit at the top of the hour. But I think, you know, what I'm feeling inspired about right now hearing your stories is that I think for me, Pride was always, you know, a celebration. I've been bisexual and out about that for probably about 15 years now. And, you know, so I was always a big part of Pride and being a sex educator, obviously, very important work I do around, you know, human rights and all that. But for me, it was just the big party. It was a big celebration. And now I'm sort of getting that there's so much work to be done. It sounds like there's so much, you know, there's fines for being gay in some countries still in our notes here. There's 26 states in the U.S. that you can lose your job still, and I can't even believe this, but lose your home if they find out you're gay or can prove that you're gay or whatever. And there's so many laws that are discriminating, and like you're saying, internationally, I didn't even really think. I'm such a community thinker that I often don't think globally about these things, but just like, wow, you know, I want to be involved now in something that raises funds to send to Sri Lanka or to some... What is that little country that I have no idea?
Belarus.
I don't think I've ever even heard of it. Good Lord, I should get on the net more often. But yeah, just to send that kind of party, like that seems like really empowering and fun and powerful. And then to send, you know, what little bit I might be able to help collect to another country to make a big difference like that. Sounds like, I mean, I don't know. For being involved, that's how I'd like to get involved. Well, answering our own question.
And again, all of that is accessible through Vancouver Pride. And all you have to do is visit the website, which is vancouverpride.ca, and send a basic email. If you don't know who to write to or what you want to do or how you want to get involved, just send an info@vancouverpride.ca, and we will definitely get in touch with you. There's, you know, the more the merrier.
And you know, you can come on to Vancouver Pride and be a part of the movement by doing, you know, some of the more fun stuff. And not that the human rights stuff isn't fun, but, I mean, by helping us put on a parade that attracts, you know, over 500,000 people now, we are using that now as a venue to educate the public. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years we've had people from international prides, and people have started talking about it. People have started saying, well, yeah, I didn't know. And I don't know if you saw in the parade this year, we had this huge map, and it had a color code to show where homosexuality was punishable by death and where it was outlawed. And we actually now have that banner up. We've on permanent loan to the center, because this is an education piece that people will stop. And, you know, so even if you only reach, like, a few people every time, the more people we reach, the more people who know. And, like, as you know, knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm. You know, and showing up is half the battle. That's all you have to do. You know, a friend of mine showed up last weekend for the activists against Fred Phelps, you know, standing up for all that. There was a big rally that happened on Friday night for Fred Phelps, who was here to spread hate, because the Laramie Project, a theater project, is playing at Havana, and he feels that Matthew Shepard, who died because he was gay-bashed to death, the Fred Phelps believes that this, you know, presenting this play is horrible, and he's just a hate-filled man. And he, friends, you know, the community showed up to stand up for this, and, you know, a friend showed up, and all she was doing was waving a rainbow flag. But that little bit of activism helped a long way. That visibility goes a very long way. So, again, you don't have to, you know, oh, my God, how much time is it going to take? It can take as little as an hour. It can take as much as, you know, one of your weekends. But that little bit really goes a long way. And, you know, living your life from a place of service is the greatest, you know, gift you can give yourself.
There's an expression that I heard, and it's sort of based off of a full quote that I need to memorize it, because I refer to it all the time. It's a quote that I saw at the Holocaust Memorial in Boston, Massachusetts, and actually Carol and I were there together as well. We go a lot of places together.
Stop following me.
Anyways, but it basically says, they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I did nothing. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I wasn't a trade unionist, so I did nothing. And then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so I did nothing. And then they came for me, and there was nobody else left. And it's a very interesting thought process, because you're like, you know, we can sit there and say, well, this doesn't affect me. You know, I don't live in Belarus, and, you know,
I'm not gay, or
whatever the case may be. But there's an expression that I like that says, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? You know, somebody somewhere has to do something. Mm-hmm. And it can be something as little as being a girl in Salt Lake City, Utah, that just wants to have a club with her and her friends, to a girl in Abbotsford
fighting for the injustice of not being able to have a course in grade 12 that everybody else in the province gets. You know, it starts that small, and now there are going to be hundreds of people in Abbotsford this weekend marching. And so, you know, we may just be one of those people who heard about it, get on a bus, go out, march for an hour, and spend, you know, 6 hours on a Saturday having a bit of fun, hanging out with friends, marching a march, listening to some speeches. You can be that person. You can be the person like, you know, Carol and I on the Pride Society and the other organizations who were organizing the buses to go out there, the girl out there who was just a girl who just wanted to be able to take this course. I mean, there's so many different various levels of activism. You just have to look for what's the right fit for you.
It's like puzzle pieces, just trying to find the right fits.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I have a rainbow, I have rainbow stuff all over in my life, and people often ask me why I'm so obsessed with it, and it's all about diversity, and even on my computer, it's like, celebrate diversity, and, you know, it's not just because I'm a sex educator and focused on queer theory and everything else and what it all means to us to have our freedoms of expression, you know, whether that's sexual expression, love expression, you know, art class, whatever it might be, so important for us to develop and grow as humans and to evolve, that we can love and accept each other for things like this. I mean, this is a healthy expression of being human. Our sexuality in this way of being, you know, gay, bi, whatever it is, lesbian, all the different rainbow colors that I think that the flag and the rainbow represent to me. So I put rainbows everywhere whenever anybody asks. That's what I tell them. But so any little thing, you know, you don't always have to go out there and be, you know, really, you know, taking all these stands, but just that you check what your belief systems are, where your fears lie, and how it is that you can make a difference around that first. And, you know, in your families, and if you're one of the young people in the world listening to this show, that, you know, to believe in yourself and to know that what you feel inside is right and okay, and to speak to someone that you trust about that, and, you know, come out when you're ready and et cetera, but look for the services that are in your community, and if there aren't any, to find a way to fight for them. So, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just also to realize that, you know, every generation is given their challenge. Every generation is given their moment in time. And this is our moment. We don't have to sit there and wonder when we're going to do something. You do it now. You get up off the couch and you do it now. And, you know, if not for yourself, then for your neighbor. And if not for your neighbor, then your community. But you've got to do something. You've got to make a difference in life. And this is pretty much the last frontier, is gay and lesbian rights and protection from murder and protection from, you know, homophobia and protection of our rights. It's
well, even to celebrate your lives. I mean, Proposition 8 is taking away marriage. I'm sorry, but if you believe in marriage and that's the way that you express your love in your life, and because you happen to love the same sex and all of a sudden you can't do that thing, I mean, it's just like you were saying, Ken, it's, you know, where does it stop?
Yeah.
If it's, you know, if that's what's happening now, today, even we're fighting for this in this moment, this very moment right now, 2008, you know, unbelievable. I'm just shocked. I'm brought to tears tonight thinking of it. You know, what's next? What else is going to be taken from us?
And it's, you know, it's as little as, you made me, something that somebody was just saying was made me think of my parents. I'm originally from Nova Scotia. My parents still live back there and very close to them. My parents are so incredibly accepting. I just love them to death. But last year, as the Halifax Pride Parade was coming up, I said, are you going to go to Halifax Pride? And they're like, oh, well, no, you know, we're not gay. We don't. And I said, but the whole idea behind doing that is that you, being my mom and dad, sitting on the street, supporting and waving and celebrating, brings more of a sense of inclusiveness and acceptance to this. And when I explained it to them like that, they thought, okay, that makes sense. So they went and they put on their Vancouver Pride t-shirts, which I had sent them, and they went and they took the camera and they had a blast, and people kept coming up and talking to them, asking them, were they from Vancouver and who were they and stuff like that, and they felt really super special, and, you know, and they left, and I talked to them the next day, and just how over, you know, and Carol's got an amazing mom too, so she knows as well, but, you know, just going and watching the Pride Parade is a show of activism, because it's a show that more than 500,000 people in our community support who we are. And it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Warm fuzzies. We didn't quite get to Stonewall.
No,
I mean,
we didn't.
I do like to speak about the history, and so maybe just with the last few minutes, what is Stonewall and why is it important today? If we can wrap the show with that.
Oh, gosh, in 2 minutes or less. Stonewall is actually a bar that is in New York, even now today. And 40 years ago, the drag queens were tired of the police coming and raiding the place and shutting them down because it was a gay establishment unknown gay establishment.
There was two pieces to this, and this is the insanity of the laws at the time. Remember, this is 1979, a year after Harvey Milk had been voted into office. 1979, in New York, it was still illegal to knowingly serve alcohol to a gay or lesbian person, and it was a law that you must be wearing X number of garments of clothing appropriate to your gender, and that is what they would go in and bust them on. And, you know, there's a really interesting movie you can rent called Stonewall, and it's kind of a cheeky little musical, but it sort of talks about that story. But that was the insanity of the time, so I jumped in, but I'll let you finish the story.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, because the police came and raided it, and finally the drag queen said, enough, get out, and they barricaded it, and they started fighting back, and it turned into the gay revolution as we know it today. It was essentially gay and lesbians standing up, and transgendered and bisexual people standing up for what is right. And from that, Stonewall started an entire revolution. And at that point, that's where there was no turning back after that. So why is it important? It's where it all began. It shows that a little and a small group of people can make an awful lot of difference, and that you all have to start somewhere, whether it's in high-heeled shoes and makeup, or, you know, standing as Harvey Milk did as a school assemblyman, you know, and it's every bit helps.
Absolutely. So Stonewall, would you say Stonewall then is the beginning of Pride?
No, because the Freedom Day Parade actually came about the year before in 1978. And that's actually where the rainbow flag came about, as 1988, 90.
Well, then there was also the Compton Cafeteria riots. But Stonewall was something that people remember, and it really became on the map because it was a big fight. It was a three-day fight against the authorities. And it really, because of also being in New York, was very globally seen. I mean, in 1978, you have to understand. I mean, we didn't have the... I don't even think we had fax machines then, did we?
No, probably not.
No.
Yeah.
I remember 1978. I was 9.
Yeah, I think I was so older than that.
I remember, though. I remember lots going on. That was when my memories really were strong for all that stuff. And I remember, TV, and there were no faxes, and there certainly was no internet.
No, definitely not.
But you could make a great mixtape.
Yes, I made quite a few mixtapes back then. I think I still have some.
I was recording myself on the tape recorder at home.
McLean and McLean for me. I was an addict. Well, that was great.
You.
Thank you too so much. Thank you, Carol.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Ken. And you can get a hold of Carol at...
Carol@smartcookie.ca, or find us on Vancouver Pride. Come and support the Pride Society, vancouverpride.ca.
And you can get Ken there as well, I'm sure, by saying Presidente.
Drop the E, but
Well, thank you both, and I think I'm inspired to get more involved this year. And maybe I'll go out to that march on Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty juiced about that right now. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's Juicebox Radio, right?
Yes.
And we'll be back next week.
And talking a little bit more about other things that people can get involved in, like Out in Schools.
Yes, and Out in Schools will be here next week, and we'll be speaking more about this whole very important topic from a different angle. So do tune in. And the following week, we have also a very interesting guest, December 17th, why the birth control pill is maybe something you shouldn't be doing in your life, and why it's bad for the environment, and all kinds of other things that we're going to be talking about with the very popular pill, which I'm hoping after the show will be a little less popular. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's Juice Box, and we'll be back next week. If you have any questions or anything you'd like to talk about with sexuality or relationships, please feel free to email caroline@juiceboxradio.com or Julia, myself. And next up, Hans von Klose's Misery Hour. Now, Marion, he's a sexy man to be miserable with.
Shoes.
You're getting a shoegasm again?
Uh-huh.
Tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night.
He just makes me clench my kegels.
Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Tune in.